This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Cedric Gravier. How are you, Cedric?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. We're in your vineyards here in Bendel.
Exactly, yeah.
And what's the name of your winery?
It's Domaine La Suffraine.
You're in charge of the local...
So the Vin de Bendel Association.
Yeah, the Bendel Association. Yeah.
President.
President, yeah. So we're going to talk about Bendel today. It's a wine region that Jade and I have tried to get to before. I was saying earlier, we tried to come here about 10 years ago and we got horribly lost in Tim Hills. GPS had
That's
a lot to
all the GPS.
Yeah, yeah. But today, nice. We've just been having a look around your vineyard and we've been seeing the Mourvèdre Grenache as well.
Also.
And you see you also grow a little bit of Senso.
Senso and some Carignan also.
Carignan, yeah. And what was the other one? Claret.
And for the white, Claret and Uniblanc.
Uniblanc, yeah. And normally when I think of Bendel, I always just think of the red wines. I didn't even know until we came here that you made rosé and white.
That's good, because Bendel was known first for the reds, for the really the potential of aging of our reds, made with mostly Mourvèdre, which is a specific grape. But some other people just think we are making just rosé because we are also in the region of Provence. In the brain of many consumers, it is rosé. But you're right. Actually, we're making the three colors.
Three colors. There's four colors now, isn't there?
Why four?
Red, white, rosé, orange.
Orange. No, orange. There's no orange wine here. I don't think so. It's the fourth color.
So where is Bendel? Just tell us where Bendel is in relation to France.
So it's the south of France in the border of Mediterranean Sea. It's 30 kilometers east of Marseille, between Marseille and Toulon.
And one of the things about Bendel I've always been aware of anyway is that because you're right on the coast and you're growing Mourvèdre, people always talk about reflected sunlight coming off the ocean, but in your vineyards up here we're about 300 meters, you said earlier, wasn't we?
300 meters high, yes, and around 3 kilometers from the sea,
so it's a fair way back from the sea.
Yeah, it's not that far. It's not in front of the sea, but some of the vines in Bendel area are really next to the sea. Where we are now, it's a bit further, but still, we have influence from the sea still.
Yes, yes. We can feel the winds actually coming through.
Always, yeah. We are always have some kind of humidity winds that can help the vines during the very warm and sunny.
So the grape varieties for the red is Mourvèdre? It's 100% Mourvèdre?
No, we are not allowed to make 100% grape wine because we have a tradition of blending grapes. But you're right, the main grape is a Mourvèdre, and Mourvèdre has to be at least at 50% on the red wines. So it means it's always the main grape, but maximum 90%.
Quite big.
So it's always the main grape, and we can add some Grenache, Senso, some Carignan, some Syrah sometimes, but really the main grape are Grenache and Senso.
And so the nice thing about Senso is it does give acidity to the wines, doesn't it? It tends to hold on to
Elegance and a bit of acidity. Oh, no. The Carignan is...
Carignan is what I was thinking of. Carignan's
Carignan is...
No flavour, but lots of acidity.
Yes. some can have some nice flavours, but it has to be a bit old. Sometimes we say Carignan is not good because when it's young, it's very... a big production and not very interesting, but when it gets old, it can be very interesting, even in terms of aromas.
Yeah. Carignan was the main grape responsible for the wine lake from France in the 1990s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's
all
true.
All that sort of thing, wasn't it? And there was a big grubbing up of it and getting rid of it and replacing it with more premium grapes. Yeah. But you need it for balance.
Also, yeah. And as I told you, when it's old, it can be very interesting. So if we want to have some old Carignan, We need to plant it young also, you know?
yeah.
So we have to take care of that.
Okay. So the red wines are a blend predominantly of Mourvèdre. Yeah. And Mourvèdre is a grape variety. I always think as a big bruiser of a wine, you know, big alcohols, big tannins, deep color.
It's a very specific grape that we cannot find everywhere in the world and that really... always made good results in the region of Bendel. it is not such a big alcohol grape. That was, it's interesting because it's a grape that, even with the climate change, has a very good balance on the juice. One of the specificities, the tannic structure that comes from the skin, that is very big skin and a lot of tannins and color. So we do a lot of work in the winery to extract elegant tannins.
How do you do that?
By the contact from the skin and the juice, and do what we call pump over. You know, you take the juice from the bottom and get back to the top.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we ferment for like 3 or 4 weeks. It's a long fermentation and quite long extraction also. Yeah, the Bandol Reds are really wines that you can age for years. We say 15, 20 years, normally it's not a problem.
Yeah.
It's really the specificity of the reds.
Okay, and let's talk about the rosé and the whites, because Bandol's, for me, is a red region, but you're saying you make something like 70% rosé.
Yeah. Rosé has always been in part of the production, and this last year's getting more and more. And also, the rosé is made with Mourvèdre, between minimum of 20%, maximum of 90%, but the average is mostly between 40, 50, 60%. So we have specific rosé also that are not maybe such aromatic, but very complex and long in the mouth. It's really rosé that you can have as an aperitif, but also that you can mix with food. Really a table rosé.
Looking at the wines before we came up here, they looked like your classic Provence rosé, very pale in color. Have they always been made that way, or is that more of a fashion thing these days? Because that Provence rosé color is very popular.
You know, in fact, most of the Côte de Provence rosé are made with Grenache and Cinsault.
That's right.
With very light color. With the Mourvèdre in Bandol, you'll see later on when you'll taste the wine, we don't have such light color. The color of the Bandol rosé is a bit more important.
Okay, so you get more color.
Yeah, we have always rosé with a bit more color. We don't have pale rosé in Bandol.
All right, so one of the things we talked about earlier as we were walking up the hill was about malic acid.
Yeah.
And I know it's probably not what you want to talk about, but I was reading and trying to understand how acidity decreases in wines over time. And I know that in cooler climates, you get a wine with a lot more malic acid. And in warmer climates, you tend to have a lot less. And the reason that you have more acidity in cooler climates is because at nighttime, when the vine's sort of sleeping almost, it still needs energy. And malic acid is the source of energy that it needs.
Exactly.
And the colder it is, the less the vine's doing stuff. So in colder climates, it's using less malic acid at night. Whereas down here, Mediterranean is famous for being warm at night and warm during the daytime.
Yeah, that's true. Completely true.
And people often talk about Mediterranean wines, Grenache in particular, but not really holding on to their acidity as well. So what's going on with malic acid? Does all the malic acid get eaten up?
Never comes to zero, but we have clearly lower malic acid at the end of the maturity than in other region. And the malic acid is a big acid with a big sensation of acid, you know?
Yes.
So you're right that when it's getting down, the balance and the acidity in the wine and the juice, of course, is a lot lower. But you say exactly what's happened during the maturity and with the malic acid, which is very important in the balance of the juice and in the wine.
Mm. Up in the cooler climates, they tend to do malolactic conversion. So they convert the sort of harsher green apple acid into a more of a milky lactic acid. Do you guys do that here?
We used to, like 20, 30 years ago, it was usual to make the malolactic fermentation on white and rosé. But now almost nobody do it because of the balance and the lack of acidity if we do that.
Mm.
So that is really part of the climate change.
That's quite good, because I've always struggled with exactly what was going on. Okay, let's talk about the aging of Mourvèdre red wines.
Yeah.
You see Mourvèdre being made in the south of France. You also see it being made a lot in the Mediterranean coast in Spain. Yeah. And when you see it in Spain, quite often in Spain, you see it with some form of carbonic maceration because those tannins can be quite powerful. And if you're trying to make an easy drinking style of wine, you don't normally want massive tannins. So they often make it with some sort of carbonic maceration to get some flavor and color extraction, but not necessarily tannin extraction.
But in fact, in Bandol, the rule of the AOC, we have to put the red wine for at least 18 months in barrels. We are mostly using big barrels that we call foudre, that are between 3,000 liters to 6,000 liters.
So is that like a foudre from Alsace?
Is it the same? It's the same. Exactly. So it's big barrels that doesn't give so much the taste of the wood, neither the tannins of the wood, because we have, as you just say, we have the mauvais get as
plenty of
tannins already. We don't need to add some. So the carbonic maceration cannot match with an aging in wood. So we don't do that, but we are looking more and more for extracting elegant tannins. It means that we are very careful about the extraction of these tannins. And clearly, I think that we are doing less extraction to preserve some freshness and some... we're not looking for making big body wines. They are always big body. You know, Bandol reds are always strong and heavy and complex. But we are more and more looking for that elegance, a bit more.
When they age the wines, what sort of tertiary flavors do they pick up? What sort of aging flavors?
We have, Mourvèdre is really known to get some spicy flavors, getting to leather flavors, to smoky flavors. And when we were running into the vineyards.
We weren't running, it was hot, we're walking.
Yeah. walking, that's true. We saw many herbs, you know, like rosemary, like thyn, like, so Mourvèdre got some, that kind of aromas, we call it garrigue, you know, I don't know the name in English, but it's a blend of herbs, very spicy, and...
I think we call it herbs de Provence.
Yeah, exactly, that's well known, you know.
Yeah.
And by the aging, the aromas are changing also, of course. The primary aromas are on spicy aromas, but the secondary aromas are more like I told you, like leather, smoky, like other kind of...
Do you get any meaty aromas?
Also can be, yeah.
I think that's one of the classic aromas I always think of when I'm thinking about aged Bandol. Yeah. Not that I'm an expert on aged Bandol in the slightest.
You will become, you have to taste that.
Okay, and tell me about the rosé and the white wine. So the rosé we said was Grenache, is it?
Grenache and so, and Mourvèdre also. So most of the rosé, if I have to describe a Bandol rosé, it's a rosé that is sometimes a bit close aromas in the nose, you know, a bit discreet, but that is really interesting in the mouth drinking. I mean, it's a full... complex rosé, very long and very complex in the mouth, that can you can match very well with many kind of food. So it's not just an aperitif rosé, you know, more complex.
Do you have any tannins in the rosés?
Always some, yeah, because of the Mourvèdre. So it's not tannic wine, but it's not a light wine neither, you know.
Okay, and what about the white wines? So you said there was Uni Blanc and...
Claret. So white represent around 5% of the production, so it's still a very small production. The Claret gives the elegance and the aromas, and the Uni Blanc, the balance and the acidity. That is really helpful. We have whites that are from the south, so with alcohol that gives some roundness, you know. Still fresh and aromatic, but always that balance on the roundness and the complexity.
There's a big move around the world at the moment, moving away from red wines and more into white wines.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a move into rosé wines over the last 20 years, but at the moment you're seeing a lot of people grubbing up red grape varieties and replanting whites. How's Bandol coped with that type of situation?
As I told you, the white represent 5%, used to represent 4 to 5%, and this last harvest, it was 7%, so it's a bit more. But it will never be 20%. I mean, even if we approach 10% of the production, it will always be lower than the rosé and reds. Mm-hmm. But you're right, the consumers are asking more and more for whites. Mm-hmm. The interest is bigger and bigger, yeah.
Yeah, are people replanting with white grape varieties, or is it just...
Yeah, we replant a little bit, but for us in Bumble, it's easy to make rosé and reds because we are using the same grape varieties, you know? Mm. So for the white, we need to replant whites. So it's really something we have to plan for years, yeah. You know? Between rosé and reds, from one year to another, we can move it. It's an important choice to replant big amounts of white.
I think what we'll do, Cedric, is we'll wrap it up there.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks a lot.